Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What's good, baby? Hey. One more time. Today was the first morning I stepped out to walk Sprout. Was like, yo, it's hot. It's like for real hot. It was only like 70
what
degrees.
What time was this?
It was like 7.
And you said it was hot.
It was hot.
I was outside at 8 o'clock. Just felt good.
It was hot. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just me.
Check your temperature again?
Well, you might. I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
Yes, Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you don't even get your drop today. I'm going to tell you why in a second. Yeah, that's right.
The disrespect.
No, shout out to Jesse.
What are you doing with him?
Let me tell you something.
What the hell is this, Damian Button?
Let me tell you something. I've been awake. This is a shoot since about 1:48 a.m.
Oh boy!
So you've been awake since that time?
Awake.
That's not okay. But go ahead.
No, it's not. It's not okay at all. 1:48.
Yeah.
And you know, like sometimes you wake up and it's like, yeah, it's like cool, just chill. I'm gonna fall back asleep. It's gonna be no big deal. Uh-huh. But sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you get hit with that. Oh crap! I think I'm awake. I was a little bit in between.
Okay.
You start thinking about, all right, just like relax. What's today? You know, I'm not going to break kayfabe too much, but it's an easy day for D-Lo and KC today. Mm-hmm. All right. Yo. What the F was Kenny thinking with that trade proposal? And I thought for the next hour about this trade proposal you put on the show yesterday. And the more I thought about it, the angrier I got with you. And then I realized you're the reason I've been up since 1:48 a.m.
What the hell?
Let me ask you something. And I'm sorry to bring up old stuff. This was yesterday. This apparently was the last 4 days with me out of the studio. You said it's time for the Kings to trade DeMontis Sabonis. Okay. I'm listening. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. Then you said, I think we should trade him for LaMelo Ball. Okay. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Then you attach all of these first round picks and the whole stinks. But what? I've been thinking about this hours.
Yeah.
How does Sacramento get better? Like what is the end game with LaMelo Ball being a Sacramento King and DeMontis Sabonis not being?
Well, now, granted, this is, I'm assuming I wouldn't trade for him knowing he's going to play 30 games. Like, I'm assuming.
No, I got you.
He gets healthy and he
does. Let's say, this is hypothetically, he plays 75 games next year.
Mm-hmm. That's an all-star point guard. You're getting 24-11 from the point guard position and probably another 5 or 6 rebounds. You get younger. You get a guy that is a franchise caliber talent in LaMelo Ball. And you're also getting another player in a DeRozan trade that may fit what you're trying to do better. And you're going to get, like I said,
that may fit LaMelo better.
May fit LaMelo.
The DeMar trade may fit LaMelo better.
Absolutely. And then at the center position, you're going cheaper, but still productive. I don't want that to be Valanciunas because I think he's just outside the area of him being a starting center on an every night basis. I'd much rather him be a backup. Though we saw what he did in a starting role. It was fine. It was fine. I wouldn't
speak. Most of his career he's been a starter.
It was fine. But even if you go and you get Mark Williams like you talk about or some, you know, I'm not saying this guy, but like a Damian Jones type that can protect the rim, being that be a lob threat, all this other stuff. Yeah, I think you're on the path to getting better. Keegan Murray, also with that DeMar DeRozan trade, you're getting somebody, whether it's a wing player or a power forward, you can now put Keegan Murray where you slot him at and think he's should play out there on the in that starting lineup. You got Keon Ellis coming off the bench. You were able to keep Devin Carter. You've got Malik Monk coming off the bench. Hopefully you get Jake LaRavia back. And then in my scenario, you got Valanciunas coming off the bench as well. I think that's a good team with a younger, I'm just saying if he's healthy, he's better than Sabonis.
So
a younger, better player. If he's healthy, I think he's better than Sabonis.
Okay.
At a position that you
Let's try this.
Have to have
for sure.
One of those guys.
Is he better than De'Aaron?
If he's healthy, yes. I'm going to stop saying that. I'm assuming health.
Yeah, 70, let's just assume health in this conversation.
75
assume
games, health. Yes, he's better than De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I won't fight it. It's close enough to where I won't fight it. I think he's a better point guard. Does that make sense? Like, he's a better passer. He's a better he sees the court better. I think he can do things with the ball in terms of passing and passing lanes that De'Aaron can't do.
Without looking at the numbers, I think he's a better shooter, at least from distance. Now, De'Aaron had that mid-range on lock for about a year or so. But from distance, LaMelo's a better shooter.
Can you give me a single player that you think the DeMar swap would work with LaMelo? Is there one that you thought of in that scenario? Because on the surface, this idea sucks and it ruined my night. But now if we're mapping this out, I do have a follow up to this. But if we're mapping this out, okay, I'm listening. But I don't. And this is my struggles with the likes of LaMelo and a little bit to a certain degree Trey as well. I don't know who fits with them because they've never had a good player with them. I don't know. You know, Domas was like a blind taste test. You didn't know what was going to work with De'Aaron because De'Aaron had never had that player with him. You were looking for a guy who could facilitate. Clearly, you were looking for a guy who could facilitate so De'Aaron could cook a little bit more with the ball. It worked to perfection for a year. Hell, it might have worked to perfection for 2 years. They just didn't get the other things going around it. But I don't, and I think maybe that's where I struggled the most is like, who is the player that complements the Melo ball? I'd ask the same question about Trey, like what players complement those guys? Because I genuinely don't know. They've both done a great job of flirting. I mean, Trey has done it. LaMelo was flirted with double-digit assists by passing the ball to, you know, give lesser players than they are.
Right. My thought with like a DeMar DeRozan trade is somebody like a KCP, like an Aaron Nesmith, you know, a guy that can be effective, can shoot, 3-and-D guy, a 3-and-D guy to help bolster with Keegan Murray that perimeter defense and just be the hard-nosed guy, be the guy that does the dirty work. That's what I think you can get back in return. Like, I'm not expecting some type of all-star, but that's what you can get back in return. And now you're looking at us. Like I said, I don't know. power forward. I'm going to just throw a name out there. I'm not saying this guy, but Wendell Carter. So if you were able to come out of the DeRozan-Sabonis trades with LaMelo Ball, Wendell Carter, or this is your starting lineup, mm-hmm. LaMelo Ball, Zach LaVine, Keegan Murray, Wendell Carter, and Nasty Boy. Then
who?
Nasty Boy. JV. Who? JV. Okay. Valanciunas.
I'm not acknowledging that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I think that's a good start. You come off the bench with Malik, Keon, Devin Carter, Jake LaRavid. You still got work to do.
And that's a better basketball team to you than what they had last year.
When last year? Because at the beginning of the season, I didn't have a problem with it. But once you lost that point guard situation, I was willing to try and see what Malik Monk could do at the point guard spot.
You mean before the De'Aaron trade, you were okay with?
Before the De'Aaron trade, I thought that was a good team.
Okay. Clearly. That was underperforming.
Clearly. Yeah. Okay. Clearly. I thought that was a good team. After the Mike Brown firing, I still thought that was a good team. When you lost De'Aaron, you just didn't have a point guard to kind of help orchestrate some things. And Sabonis kind of got lost in the sauce a little bit with the DeRozan thing. I didn't think the DeRozan situation was as bad as others made it out to be. But you tried Malik at the point guard position. He's just a little too erratic to be your consistent point guard.
Yeah.
And I like him better at that six-man role. Or if you have a point guard or the roster was different, I like him better off the ball a little bit more. Now, the thing with LaMelo, and so here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing.
It's not LaMelo, by the way.
Well, not necessarily you. Or Jesse, but just everybody. Because last night I had a tweet, because there's the Evan Sittery or whatever had the report that the Bulls may be open to moving Lonzo. Mm-hmm. I put the eyes mm-hmm. on that because mm-hmm. I like Lonzo.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. Give me that.
Yeah, I like Lonzo.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. No. Right. No, are you crazy? All right. What's this infatuation with the Ball family? What? No. No. Pass. So we don't want LaMelo. We don't want Trey. We don't want Lonzo. We don't want Drew.
There's no we. Just to be clear. Yeah, they.
They don't want LaMelo. They don't want Trey. They don't want Drew Holiday. They don't want Lonzo Ball.
They want to sit on their phones and be mad. Let them be mad. We'll have conversations. If Chicago is shopping, Scott Perry needs to be calling.
Absolutely.
It's also not the idea of LaMelo Ball that I learned I didn't like. It's the idea of LaMelo Ball without Domantas Sabonis that I didn't like. Because I couldn't, again, 148. I had time to think about, like, I can't figure out how this team is better. And I went with the idea of DeMar being gone, but couldn't figure out who's here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I couldn't like I was kind of running through
who was coming
I was
back
running through time. Houston because I'm trying to find a place where DeMar I think makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I was running through the Rockets roster real quick thinking it's like, oh, okay, maybe like you've improved here. Like I've already eliminated the picks from this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we're making money work. You know, you did acknowledge yesterday for those who missed this is an important component.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Charlotte's probably working with someone else because this offers the idea of Domas to Charlotte doesn't offer Charlotte anything.
Right.
Like it offers him absolutely nothing.
Right.
And so if they're, you know, maybe getting a pick from Sacramento and shipping Domas somewhere else where maybe they're getting two picks back or something along those lines, mm-hmm. and then a player here and a player there, and now suddenly, all right, we've made this work to where Charlotte is in a, as you called it, and I thought this was brilliant, a cap reset, mm-hmm. where, you know, we've got a top four pick in the draft this year. Okay, we can work this.
Yeah.
Kenny ruined my night. We'll come back.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing about what you talked about, you want to see, you were more intrigued with LaMelo and Domas. And I got a question for you and everybody else when we come back.
Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll dive into the finals as well. We're thrilled you're here with us. Phone lines are open for you. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. And y'all know what it is. We're just getting started here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. There was some news today. Jordan Ott has been hired as the Phoenix Suns head coach.
Sorry, that was disrespectful.
It was. He was assistant in Cleveland. We're going to talk about that as the day progresses. It is.
Did you know? I think I saw this right. You know, one of the the connections there. Oh man, can you imagine if this happened in Sacramento?
Did you see I don't one think of
the
I did.
Jesse, did you see one of the connections?
No, I saw Jordan Ott. I thought Jaden Ott. Shout out Cal Berkeley, but
let me. I'm a double check. I'm a triple check.
Okay,
because I double checked, but let me triple check before I even bring this to the air. But okay. When I hear if this is true, mm-hmm. can you imagine if this happened in Sacramento?
Well, shout out KC's learning, by the way. Chatty House, no more.
Well, no,
not again. I believe in you, Kenny.
Eight time is the charm.
What happened the other day where I was like, oh, I don't want to get, is this true?
It was on Monday, I think, but you were right.
Yeah, it was crazy to believe, but it was really true.
That's what we call progress in this studio.
Well, we're doing well, guys. Look at that. For almost 5 years in, we're figuring this thing out.
All right, man.
I will not be Centel this day.
Shout out Centel. Shout out Centel. Okay. All right. All right. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's get TC in here. Let's see what TC is talking about. 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
We good, baby.
What's good, TC?
Hey, you know, look, check it out, Pipin. So, hey, the more we thought about it, like you was, D-Lo, hey, in the morning, I wasn't up at 2 in the morning, but, hey, I'm thinking more about, and I'm leaning more yes on that trade, right? I don't know about the multiple first, but, like, I'm Domas. We've seen it with Domas already. I get what you're saying, D-Lo, with, like, you'll do it with Domas, but that we'd be in the same predicament we was before with Domas not having the ball in his hand, right? Ball can play off the ball, but he's a point guard. We asked him for a point guard, so we need him to have the ball in his hand. Domas is only effective, bro, when he has the ball in his hand, bringing it up, facilitating all that. If he doesn't have it in his hand, bro, he's just an average guy, bro. So that's an A-plus trade for me. That's all I got.
Shout out, TC. I won't go as far as TC and say Domas is an average guy, but that goes along with what I wanted to ask you. I think a lot of the what you get with Domas is when he has the basketball in his hands. When he doesn't, he's not average because he's still an elite rebounder and passer, even though he is an elite passer, but he won't have the ball in his hands.
You gotta have the ball in your hand to pass.
So at that point, like he's not really a finisher.
So what
like
are
that.
We talking about outside of that? Like defense? But what are we talking about? Being a screen center? Like, what are we talking about?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is he, if he doesn't have the basketball in his hands on a consistent basis, which is what would be the case maybe if LaMelo's here, are you maximizing Domantas Sabonis?
No, probably not. Yeah, probably not. Hmm. Like, is it a necessity to keep the ball out of his hands?
No, it's not a necessity. I heard that a different way, but it's not a necessity. He probably would want to be a focal part of the offense. And, you know, getting him the rock, making sure things facilitate through him, you're maximizing his abilities at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But now are you minimizing the guy that you just spent so much to get in LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't. Well, LaMelo, I don't know either way. Like I'm just bringing up a possible scenario of what might be a roadblock if they were on the same team together.
But would you have the same roadblock if it was Lonzo instead of LaMelo?
Lonzo at least
because LaMelo can score.
Yeah.
And if so, if Domas had, they could work the two-man game that Fox and De'Aaron had 2 years ago.
They can.
But could Lonzo and Domas?
I think Lonzo could. I think really? Lonzo's a pure point. Lonzo,
well, that's what I mean.
Lonzo's a high IQ guy, too. So if we're running it through Domas and he's got to, you know, do all the stuff he does at the 17-foot mark and stuff, Lonzo can find spots in the defense to either cut, spot up, do things like that. Like, I think in LaMelo, I don't know if LaMelo would or not. He might be a guy that just kind of stands around because he doesn't have the basketball, not sure what to do without the basketball in his hands. So I think Lonzo could. I got confirmation
okay.
on what was going on.
So this is Jordan Ott and the Phoenix Suns.
Jordan Ott and the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Former staffer at Michigan State.
Okay. Where Matt Ishbia went to school.
Yeah. Ain't nobody, I don't want to say nobody heard of Jordan Ott. But can you imagine if, say, Vivek went to Arizona and he hired an Arizona alum that nobody really heard of? Like, I'm not saying Jordan Ott isn't qualified or nothing like that, but nobody thought he was going to get the job nationally, at least, going into the search.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt said, no, I'm going to take this guy from Michigan State. What if Vivek said, no, I'm going to take this guy from Arizona that is just kind of randomly out there?
Jordan Ott was a video coordinator from 2013 to 16 with the Atlanta Hawks. He was an assistant with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm guessing that's Kenny Atkinson from 16 to 22. Then he spent a couple of years with the Lakers and this last year with Kenny Atkinson on the Cleveland Cavaliers staff. I hear you.
I'm for giving the guy a shot.
Oh, my God. Ott was an assistant under Kenny Atkinson, Jacque Vaughn, and Steve Nash.
I'm not going to take that from Jacque
Dear
Vaughn.
God. James Hamm probably hates the man.
I'm all for the dude getting his opportunity. Mm. I have no problem with it. Like, just because I wasn't familiar with him doesn't mean he won't be a good coach. But I would also say that with anybody that Vivek didn't, I don't think people would, right? Like, that's my whole point. Like, if it was him meddling owner. All
well, it sounds stuff. Like someone else signed off on it. Sounds like this was Book's call.
That always goes well, right?
Man. I don't know why players do this. I don't know why agents allow players to do this. Mm. This is just not going to end well. They obviously are going in a completely different direction. Like, Matt Ishbia has hired, he didn't hire Monty Williams. I don't think he fired Monty Williams.
Yeah.
I don't think he hired him. Hired Frank Vogel. Mm-hmm. Hired Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
All veteran, both of them, veteran coaches, went in the opposite direction with Jordan Ott here, who I think is 40. Remembering a Trista Crick tweet today, I think he's 40 years old. So, first time head coach, a lot different than the last two guys Ishbia has hired. I don't have an issue. I don't care. Like, if that's like this, your process, like, great. Your veteran coach is like, didn't work. Like, I hope you're giving the brother like a real opportunity to do this. Mm-hmm. I think, Devin Booker was involved in the process and this. That's sketchy to me. Like, I just don't feel like that's good. I mean, it's all good that Ishbia wants to crown him Mr., Phoenix Sun forever. Like, it's cool, but like, things can get sour here, and if they do, Devin Booker is going to wind up coming out bad in this.
How would you approach that if you were Devin Booker? I'm going to assume, I haven't read much on it, but I'm going to assume Devin didn't, and this could be a wrong assumption, but Devin didn't go to him and say, involve me in this process, talk to me. I'm going to assume Ishbia said, let's sit down and.
I believe you're correct.
Right.
Ishbia
came to him.
Yeah, with the idea like, hey, this is what we're looking at. We want you to
How would
involved.
You approach that if you were Devin?
Thanks, but I trust you guys to do your job.
Yeah, I'd run it through my agent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe the two are in sync that, like, no matter what, no matter what, Devin Booker is Kobe. He's Dirk. He's Tim Duncan. He is a Phoenix Sun. He's been through, you know, what might be the highest of highs for them. He's certainly been through the lowest of lows with them. Maybe he's felt like, I played through the gamut of emotions with this organization. Mm-hmm. This is my home. This is where I'm going to play forever. I got an owner that loves me. We'll figure out the KD stuff, the Bradley Beal stuff, all of that different stuff. We'll figure all of that out. Maybe that, if that's the place that Devin is really in, hey, go ahead, Sloop. Stand up there with him at the press conference if you want to.
Yeah.
But as quote James Hammond, the business of basketball, hey, I'm going to trust you guys to make this decision.
Well, this is also like a way to put some indirect heat on your star player if this goes wrong to start the season. Because if the Suns start out, whatever, insert under 500 record, oh, well, mm-hmm. this is Devin Booker's guy, and he's mm-hmm. catching heat now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
My retort to that would be, they're going to blame me anyway, so I might as well have input. It's the whole LeBron thing. Like, even LeBron have nothing
but
to do.
But he's not
with
LeBron, though.
They're going to blame me anyway.
I don't think that's true.
Nah, that's the
I thing. Don't think Devin Booker is ever. But Devin Booker wasn't blamed for Mike Budenholzer.
He's kind
Devin
of
Booker wasn't blamed for any
years,
of these
yeah.
fires.
Yeah, because there was a lot of other things. Budenholzer was an issue. KD, Bradley Beal. There was other things there to distract. He's going to be the last one left standing. He'll be the last one left to blame.
Sure.
Like,
but I think you're wrong. I don't think he'll catch the heat for it.
I maybe you're right. I'm of the belief the star player always gets blamed. Hell, they didn't know nothing about what was going on with De'Aaron and Mike Brown, and that's the first person they pointed to out here, John Dickinson. Fox got Mike Brown fired. Like, that's what people do. That's what people do.
Yeah.
That's maybe I'm a cynic with that, though.
Yeah, maybe.
And you could be right about that.
I feel like the only one who really catches that level of heat is LeBron. I don't hear other players being like, no one says this player got.
Hey, don't take that off there.
No,
it was up there for a reason.
No, I get it. It can go.
No, it can.
It can go. You're a little Michigan.
It was up there for a reason.
It can go.
I don't think either of them are from Michigan, either of them. By the way.
Like, I don't understand.
That was supposed to be up there for 10 minutes.
Y'all ride so hard. They ain't going to be up there for no 10 minutes. Oh, man. Hey, good luck to Phoenix. Good luck to Devin Booker. Good
no
luck
bad
to
luck.
Jordan. Like, I
hope you guys
know.
Are awful.
I don't know, man. They, I Winhurst, who's not having the best week, he said there was a 2-year extension out there for, or maybe there's talks of offering a 2-year extension to Devin Booker.
Mm.
It was a steep price too. I think it was approaching like $7 million a year. I mean, $70 million a year, which I didn't know we were yet possible for that. What's Devin Jeez. Booker at right now? Devin Booker's at 53. So he's at 57 and 61. The 26-27 season is 57. The 27-28 season is 61. He becomes an unrestricted free agent after that. I don't know how that 2-year extension would get him as high as the numbers I saw, but cap's going up, and I'll never understand the CBA, so whatever.
Yeah. Who knows about the CBA? I ask the same questions every time. Every time I think about, all right, what's the trade exception again? What can you do with that?
Yeah, I just don't understand how this game
I learn for the first time every time.
Every time. Yeah. Every single time. Speaking of coaches, they had the, looking up at the TV, they had the Tom Thibodeau stuff up there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in my many hours awake here so far today, I thought about Tom Thibodeau as well. And I thought about the New York Knicks.
Did you ever go to sleep?
I did not.
Oh, boy.
No, I didn't.
That's crazy.
Thinking of Tom Thibodeau at 2 a.m. is crazy.
It's tough.
The title of the show.
It was
title of the show.
To be fair, I think I was still in the LaMelo Ball trade proposal at about 2 o'clock. This might have been closer to like 3:15.
When's the last time you think someone was thinking of Tom Thibodeau that late at night? Or that early in the morning?
Not even Leon Rose. Yeah. That man rested easy after making that call. It's not common, but it's not terribly like unusual. Phil Collins, like Doug Collins, was a really good basketball coach. That was a playoff Chicago Bulls team. They fired him and hired Phil Jackson. They became a championship team. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I can visualize his face, but I can't remember who was coaching the Los Angeles Lakers when Phil took over and made that Kobe and Shaq
Dale
team.
Dale Harris.
Dale Harris, thank you. When he took over and made that, again, it was a playoff team. That Phil Jackson took over and made a championship team. Lots of circumstances involved in this one. Greg Popovich replaced someone.
Yep. George Lucas.
To become.
It might have been Brian Hill.
I think it was Brian Hill. Yeah. To take the San Antonio Spurs to a championship team. There are a handful of examples where a coach, I mean, the extreme example is David Blatt. Ty Lue took his place.
David Blatt, Dwayne Casey,
and Dwayne Casey, another one. Yeah, Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse is another one. It happens. Like Dwayne Casey was a 60-win head coach. Yeah. He's one of the many coaches of the year who have been fired.
Yeah, if you day off you that award, go ahead and turn it down.
Yeah, no thanks, man. No thanks. Nick Nurse comes in, wins a championship. It's not unheard of that a playoff team fires a really good head coach and hires the guy who takes them to win a championship. And I think a lot of people, including myself, I mean, I wasn't hard on the New York Knicks. It was just like, what? Okay, who's the guy? Like, there seems to be a consensus that Michael Malone and Tom Thibodeau are the same coach, the same guy with the same personality. So is this really a different voice? Because there's only a couple of guys. This is very much the DeMar DeRozan syndrome. Oh, man, they need a fresh voice in New York. A fresh voice for who? OG Anunoby been there for 5 minutes. Mikal Bridges been there for 3 minutes. Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson are the guys who have been there the longest, and it's been like, 2 years. They all needed a fresh voice?
Cat just got there, but he had been
Cat just got there the day before yesterday.
Yeah. What if this is just James Dolan being James Dolan?
It certainly
could be. There could be more than one meddling owner in the NBA, by the way.
It certainly could be, but I feel like Leon Rose is more powerful. Like, I think there might be one front office in the entire league that is the exception to the rule, even with a guy like James Dolan, and that's Leon Rose. And that's that contingent of CAA guys that runs. That's another one. That's a great one. Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr is another one. I think that CAA group is strong enough to fight off James Dolan.
I could believe that.
I mean, Leon Rose isn't your regular president of basketball operations. Like, he has been one of the most powerful, and I don't even know that that's his official title, but he has been one of the more powerful voices in professional basketball for the last couple of decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not Monty McNair up there working with James Dolan or Wes Wilcox.
Don't even get me started.
No, fire off 20 minutes of hate on Monty McNair again.
Hey, we've got this trade. No, you don't.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah,
point being, it's not as like earth-shattering or as uncommon as some of us might have like originally thought. A team coming out of the Eastern Conference Finals, oh, wow, they fired their head coach. It's not as crazy.
I think that might be the difference, though.
What's that?
The conference finals. I can't remember any of these situations where they're getting fired in.
Dwayne Casey, I think, was second round.
Casey was second round.
Mark Jackson, I think, was
Dale Harris.
Second round.
Dale Harris. Mark Jackson was first round. He had gotten him to the second round the year before.
Did Dale Harris win a – not Dale Harris. Spurs.
Brian Hill.
Did he win a title?
No.
Did Pop win all? Who won the title David Robinson?
I think that was Pop. Yeah. That was
Oh, wow.
Pop.
Okay. Was Pop. All right.
Yeah. Pop got there probably around 96, 97.
Maybe 98. I thought Pop got there in 99 as the head coach.
And they all had Tim Duncan, though. Because remember, Tim was like a second-year player.
But didn't San Antonio didn't win a title without?
No.
They were just really good?
Akeem was dogging him, Dave Robinson out when he was by himself.
Yeah, Popovich took over the Spurs in 96-97.
Mm. And they won their first title in 99 then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the Western Conference Finals, though, that Brian Hill got to. But he maybe survived another year or two.
I'm flustered. Bob, what year was Tim Duncan drafted?
98.
Was that 98 or 90, 98?
98. Yeah.
So his second year, they won a championship. All right, man. All right, man.
Yeah, Pop took over for Bob Hill.
What year are we going in for women?
Bob Hill. What were they calling the guy? Brian Hill?
Brian Hill. Who's that guy?
That's the
Brian Hill is absolutely somebody.
No, that's
somebody.
The Magic. That's the Magic.
That is the Magic head coach. Yeah.
Lil Brian Hill.
Well, I don't know that we need to call him that.
He wasn't tall.
What was he, Spud Webb?
Like, I don't know. How short was he? Well,
I'm going to look at Brian Hill's height.
My height? Like, what are you doing? Fine.
He
was 5. Wait, no. No.
Maybe he was taller than I thought, but he looked a little.
He was 5'9". 5'9".
He's not that small, but
does that constitute little Brian Hill?
If you're an NBA player,
Kornheiser calls.
Well, he's not an NBA player.
Kornheiser calls Larry Frank little Larry Frank.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why Tony does that. I don't know why he does that.
It's gonna be a different Brian Hill too. I don't know. This is Brian Hill basketball. Yeah.
No, Brian Hill. That's absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely the coach of the Orlando.
And I think
Magic.
I said John Lucas or David Lucas. I said David Lucas. I think it's John Lucas who was the coach before Bob Hill.
No, I think you did say John Lucas.
Okay, well, I got it right.
If you're surrounded by a bunch of NBA players, yeah, you could be little Brian Hill. That makes sense.
Sorry, Brian. I apologize. He's still with us, right?
Oh, let's
No, he's still with us. No, Brian Hill is not dead. Do not kill off a coach.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, he's not. He's still here. Okay. We still got,
Sorry, Brian Hill.
I apologize to
Brian. What were you, Charles Barkley over here?
We haven't gotten to that part of Wikipedia yet.
Come on. I apologize for calling him little Brian Hill.
Come on, Shaq. Relax, man.
Try to get Brian Hill on the show later this week.
Gonna have me coming out, man. Sorry to the Hill family. Brian Hill's still alive. I'll know why Kenny killed him off yesterday.
Shout out, Brian.
Imagine getting a call from David Stern. Hey, could you stop killing off? Could you stop killing off our players?
Yeah, I don't know if any of them came off the conference finals though. David Blatt had gotten to the NBA finals, but that was mid-season when he got fired. Though it wasn't right after the season.
And we're talking coaches that immediately went to the finals.
Well, no, I did. That's not really what I was. No.
Well, I would say that's the difference.
Yeah, we were going through coaches who had been fired, where they were. There were all of these teams. Doug Collins, those Bulls, they were all playoff teams.
Did they get to the conference
finals? Well, E-May got fired
in
the finals.
Did they lose to the Pistons in the conference finals the first time? They might have.
I don't know. How many years in a row did they play in the conference finals?
They played the Pistons 3 years in a row.
I feel like we did this before. One of them was in the second round, wasn't it?
That might have been the Doug Collins one, I think. They played him in the playoffs 3 years in a row, maybe even 4 years in a row. Yeah,
this is our annual trip down when the Bulls and Pistons.
I think it was 4 years in a row, and one of them was the second round. The other three were conference finals. That's my guess. I don't even know who else.
Doug Collins last year was 88-89, and they lost.
In the conference finals.
In the conference finals.
Yeah.
And he had been first round semis conference finals in his 3 years with Chicago. That's tough.
Job. Yeah, it is.
That's tough.
It is.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
And then, you know, Phil comes in, they go 90-91, mm-hmm. and, or 89-90, excuse me, mm-hmm. and then 90-91.
In 89-90, did you...
was that the migraine year?
Maybe.
I feel like the migraine year was Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I think so, at Game 7.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Phil Jackson, who was wearing the suits on the sidelines and the Jordan 4 Breads. Did you ever see that picture?
Oh, yeah.
Why would he do that?
He's supporting his guy.
Well, all right, where are the dress shoes, sir?
Oh, look at you.
It's 1989. Yeah, get off my lawn. That's awesome. Get on this.
This is before Usher and all this other stuff.
He's a trendsetter.
Yeah, you've been trying to bring the suits back lately. No,
let's not forget Boys to Men wore the Concords on, like, was it the Grammys with the suits?
That's still
nice. Bet you hated that, too. Wow.
I mean, if you got the suit on, I prefer
old man Carroll.
I prefer the dress shoes.
Hey, Jesse, get off my lawn.
Yeah, Kenny Stern, dress code's enforced.
Man. Got Kenny out here in a New York Knicks hat, in a baggy New York Knicks jersey, but looking down on Phil Jackson for wearing the Breads on the side.
I wasn't going to work. Carroway's back.
I wasn't going to work.
Why are y'all so obsessed with coaches wearing suits?
Bring it
for
back.
What? For what?
Because it looks better.
What are you looking at the coach for?
What does it matter?
You look dapper. You look fly.
What is it? 1920?
Do you wear a suit when you coach?
No, I'm not in the NBA.
Well, I did
when I was in high school.
You a head coach.
When I coached high school.
Okay.
I consumed the salt.
What about when you coach Reese's team?
No, it's the AAU. AAU.
You a head coach.
Like Isaiah Thomas said, this isn't AAU. This is the NBA.
Who says dapper,
by the way?
Oh, yeah,
now you're not allowed to shoot with your shirt off either.
This is the NBA. You're at the NBA facility.
Every once in a while, the old man just creeps out of you.
Hey, man, I'm a classic man.
He's here.
Yeah, the old man's just sitting here on the leg with his stick. Just everybody get off my lawn.
Greatest of all time. Shooting out there with his shirt off, but can't do it.
No.
Put your shirt on.
Get basketball.
Yes, put a shirt on. We're not at the park. This is the National Basketball Association.
He's shooting in an empty gym that he probably built.
Is he at work or not? That's no count. We're at work right now. What are you wearing right now at work?
Go ahead, take your shirt off. Go ahead.
What are you doing?
Produce the show.
Not going to take my shirt off or what?
Produce the show with your shirt off. Go ahead.
We're not in suits, though.
Man, the fashion police.
To be honest,
where's Andy Hall? Kyle, take your shirt off. Go ahead. Do the show without your shirt on. If that's professional, right?
If I hadn't had my weekend in Vegas, I'd do it.
Hey, if we did the show with our shirt off, that'd be content. They wouldn't be mad.
That'd be content. We'll come back. I'll try to find a younger version of Kenny Carraway when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Kenny's one-man war against NBA tire continues. Let's see what Leezy talking about here at 916-909-1320.
Real quick, Leezy. And why do you have the shirt off? Like, there is enough gear where you can put a tank top on.
Well, bro's been working out for a while, probably sweating, don't like the feeling of shooting, whatever, don't want that till later. Maybe he doesn't like the feeling. He's trying to be free.
It's not necessary. It's not.
Do you think he does it to be extra?
I don't know why.
It was an empty arena.
Why are you shooting with no shirt?
Why does it matter? Do you think LeBron James is the first professional basketball player to shoot inside an arena with no shirt on?
No. What does that have to do with anything?
You're going to make me look up Larry Bird shooting shirtless?
Is that what I got to do? It's not the LeBron rules. It's the NBA. When you're in the NBA.
I don't think there's a rule that you got to warm up with a shirt on.
No, I'm saying it's not exclusive to LeBron. Like, LeBron put a shirt on, like, everybody should have a shirt on or something on. So, whether if J.R. Smith did the same thing. We'd be like, J.R., put a shirt on.
No, I wouldn't care.
I would.
Man's at work getting ready to play a game. Get your stuff off.
It's the NBA. He can go to 10th and P.
Do you think WNBA players work out in sports bras?
Hey, even that's a sports bra.
All right. Let's get Leezy in here. Now, this is the weirdest thing. I just want to go to bed. That's all I want to do, man. I've been up for 12 hours already. Leezy, what's up, man?
Yo, yo, D-Lo, Casey, what's good, kenfolk?
What's good, kenfolk? Today.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, yo, guys, I wanted to call and talk about the Kings and the Knicks, but before I get to that, I want to give a quick shout-out to Coach JT, a local friend of mine. He's a photographer, and he said, hey, Lee, can you look over these pics? And I'm looking, and it's Coach JT in a suit coaching. So shout-out to Coach JT. He's wearing his suit.
That's what we're doing,
Coach JT.
That's right. That's right. But hey, guys, I just wanted to talk about Kings and the Knicks, and I was just wanting to get your guys' thoughts on this. When you think about the Knicks situation, doesn't it feel kind of similar to what we had here in Sacramento? You know, you kind of had a coach whose personality kind of took a toll on the team, even though the star player, you know, supported them, Fox with Brown, Jalen Brunson with Tibbs, big man, not so much, Sabonis, Cat. Do you guys kind of see the similarities there?
Not exactly.
I don't. I don't.
I don't either. Lee, I'm not trying to leave you hanging on that one.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, right now or a couple years ago or, like, I didn't follow that one on Lee. I didn't follow that one. But you can explain it more if you're here on Friday.
Oh, yeah, pull up on Friday. I just don't see a relation between the two. I do. It's interesting. I know Stephen A. was screaming about this yesterday from what I heard. There's been no press conference.
This is Jalen Brunson's fault.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're waiting until they make a hire or what, but the Knicks didn't have a press conference to announce the fire of Tom Thibodeau and why it happened and all of that. There have been reports of new voice, fresh ideas, different things like that. Next level. But no one has gone on record and said, you know, why this happened. So until then, it's just left for everybody to speculate. Right. And so I'm reading the same articles everybody else is.
Yeah. I thought it could potentially be something where, and I'm not saying this is the right move to let him go or something like that. Once again, I thought he would at least be able to start the season. But in some respects, it does feel like Coach Thibs' team has a bit of a ceiling. That's just the feeling. That's just the feeling that we got. And maybe they felt the same way. Like, we're not going to be able to break through and win a championship.
And if that's truly how you feel, I'm perfectly fine with it. Mm. I'm perfectly fine with that line of thinking. Again, it's not uncommon.
I don't hate the move either. Like, if you had an expectation of this team you're putting together, it's like, this is a finals team and this is built to beat the Boston Celtics, and you do that in the second round and you lose to a seed below you in the conference finals, like, you fell below expectations there.
So I wonder, but you're right. Technically,
and
you are
right. If you feel
right.
You're right there, then I get it.
But I think the Knicks were 51 and Indiana was 50. Mm. I think. Like, it's not like it was a 51-win team versus a 43-win team.
I'll double-check this, too, but I believe the Knicks were only a 50-win team last year. And like, does that matter if Tibbs only got one more win out of this team?
I mean, I would.
So that's a great point, too. And I also think there's something to the Celtics being eliminated. Like, the Celtics are gone. The Bucks weren't even a factor. Mm-hmm. And you're New York. You're probably thinking, we did what we came to do.
Yeah, the Knicks were
we're on our way now.
The Knicks were only a game better and a seed worse.
Mm.
Yeah, they got to the conference finals. Like, your journey of how you get there, sometimes it varies, but you got to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. I thought that that should get him at least another season, another opportunity. You know, you lost to the in the conference finals. You ran into a buzzsaw. You ran into a crazy situation in game one. Sometimes those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you lost the conference finals in six. You didn't get swept. You didn't really get embarrassed. You had a bad moment that you couldn't recover from that I don't think was necessarily fireable. You know what I mean? Like, I understand potentially why they did it, but
did they have a successful season?
Yeah, they had a successful season. You got to a level that you hadn't reached in 25 years.
But
So this goes to like what I talk about before, right? Like, is a successful season only winning a championship?
It depends on your team's expectations.
For the Knicks.
For the Knicks this year, for you getting past the Celtics in round two, like, yeah, you were supposed to get to the finals. Yeah,
I think it was being in the finals.
Yeah, yeah, like that's what the offseason was.
Bridges trade, the Jalen Brunson, you know,
there was
deal.
I got a text, Knicks the favorites. I hated it. Turned out, low-key, some of it was true, I guess, but.
I mean,
That's the expectation and the standard for them this year, at least.
I wouldn't say this year was a failure. Did they reach
Were they wrong for firing Tibbs?
I'm trying to get off the fence and make it a definitive statement.
Keep thinking about it. Go ahead.
Oh, I had another question too.
Oh,
Do you think Tibbs got the most out of this?
We're
team
just
this
grilling
year?
Him yeah. like he's under like
well,
he's under the
yeah. So, answer the question, Kenny.
So I would say I'll answer both of your questions, and they kind of lead into each other. I would say no, they're not wrong for firing Tibbs because I don't think he got the most out of this group. And okay. one person I'm looking at specifically is Mikal Bridges. I think you traded all that to get Mikal, and you know he had an up and down season. And I would say some people would attribute that to the role that Tibbs had him playing and the lack of creativeness in the offense to try to include him, not being able to get off of Jalen Brunson being ball dominant to feed Mikal and guys like that, not being able to utilize that bench. I mean, that stood out to me a lot in that finals. And I don't want to, like, keep harping on it because I don't think Shamet and DeLon Wright were, like, this unbelievable duo off the bench. But the fact that they couldn't play at all and then you kind of lucked into having them get out there and be productive – like, you weren't going to do it. You got in some crazy foul trouble in game three and were forced to play them. And, oh, lo and behold, they could help you stay above water. And you stumbled across that. Like, you didn't even find that on your own. You stumbled across it. At the time, I thought it was very reactionary and panicky to start Mitchell Robinson ahead of Josh Hart. And I don't think you got the best out of Josh Hart in that series, potentially because of that. So I would say, no, they weren't wrong for firing him. And no, he didn't get the best out of that group.
I think, too, if you're on the thought, like, where you're like, maybe you just give him another shot to start the season, I think that's kind of where it's like, all right, you have your answer to.
Well, see, yeah, and that's where, like you said that yesterday, he deserved a chance to start the season. And if, you know, something goes, that to me, you're already done at that point. Like, if you're telling your girlfriend or your wife, like, hey, if we can't fix things in the next 30 days, man, we're going to have to end this thing.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. You're a Jalen Brunson ultimatum. I'm playing for this coach only away from it all blowing up.
Yeah, like, it's not it. Like, that. So if that's how that contingent felt, this was the move.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. And again, you are a team that was a championship contender. You were built to be a championship contender. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I do have a little, I agree with you, by the way, that I think, you know, Tom Thibodeau teams might have a ceiling that they've struggled to break through for whatever reason. But I do think that this team was constructed to win a championship and win a championship immediately. You fall short of those expectations, like, someone's going to pay the price. And it's not going to be the president of basketball operations who put the team together. I also think it's really difficult to put a team like this together. Bridges, OG, all of those guys, Cat, throwing all of these pieces together and going and winning year one.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. I don't know if people should have to pay the price if you don't win the first time out.
And that leads me to believe they might have already felt a certain way about Tom Thibodeau.
Well, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Like, we thought, I think it was last season, he was games away from being fired in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And then they got hot.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, we can't fire him. Roy. And maybe last year, maybe the start of this year was what I thought the start of next year should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was like, man, we were already about to fire this dude, but let's, you know, he got us to, what did they get, the second round last year? They lost in game seven and stuff. All right, let's give him the start of this year and see what happens. And maybe that's what they did last year, and they weren't going to do that again this year.
Going into next season, too, if I'm the Knicks front office, like, this is our shot. The East is as weak as it's going to be for a while. Like, the Bucks could move off of Giannis, but even then, if he stays, that team's not that strong. Boston's to be determined with what they're doing this offseason. The Pacers are kind of this new team here, like this top four or whatever, so we'll see what they are next year. And, like, Cleveland. It's Cleveland. Like, I don't think they really scare you or anything like that. I
haven't had Cleveland hating in a while, so I'm glad we got that in there.
See it, like, as your shot, where it's like, we get the right guy in here, and it's like, we got it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.